Luke's going to introduce this picture to you right now.
Yeah. I was looking for, I read the message, and I was looking for the media that would go along with the message about meeting people where they're at. And this may look to you like just another Africa picture like you see all the time. But to me, it's a much deeper thing because it's kind of hard, but you can see that says 07/04, 2006. I was there. I was right there when they took that picture. And gives you a whole different perspective on this whole idea of meeting people where they're at. That little boy, you know, what is he, maybe 4 years old, five? And he's an orphan, an AIDS orphan. He doesn't have a family. Don't know what his name is. Nobody probably knows what his name is. And he walked 3 or 4 kilometers today, that day, to get with the other little boy, who's another orphan. And they walked there that day because they knew that we were going to have food for them. And skinny before, and then just filling his stomach as much as he possibly could with this rice porridge stuff. So God's called us to meet people like this little boy, this nameless little boy, whose eye, the look in his eyeballs is forever seared into my mind. God calls us to meet him where he is.
Meeting people's needs was where they are was something that Jesus did quite well. He did it very, very well. And if you have your Bibles today, you can turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And we're going to read where he fed the 5,000. Because there was 5,000 men plus women and children here at this time, at this point in time. 5,000 men plus women and children. And they were hungry. And Jesus met their needs where they were. And you know what? It's kind of amazing to me that he was able to do what he did. It's not amazing. It's a miracle. He was able to do what he did with what he had. So let's read Scripture today. And by the way, I'm going to have to turn around and read off the screen because I left my glasses sitting on the table this morning. It says, when the crowds found out they followed him, he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and cured those who needed healing. Late in the day, the 12 approached and said to him, send the crowd away so they can go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find food and lodging because we are in a deserted place. You give them something to eat, he said, told them. We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, they said, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For about 5,000 men were there. Then he told his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. They did so and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them. He kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Everyone ate and was filled. Then they picked up 12 baskets of leftover pieces. Wow. Think about that. He kept giving to them, to the disciples, and they picked up 12 baskets full, one for each one of the disciples. A basket, they didn't start out that way. But let's look at this passage of Scripture today in light of where we are. And if in your outline today, you have before you, it talks about, you know, our life groups are going to be studying this week and about the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Not necessarily do unto others as they've done to you, but do unto others as you'd have them to do to you. And so you treat people the way that you want to be treated. And if you're hungry, you want to eat. And so his disciples said, just send them away. Send them away now. Now they had gathered, they had walked around the sea. And the whole crowd had to get to there. No doubt that they were quite hungry because now they had sit and listened to him teach pretty well all day long. And Jesus' disciples said, send them away. Send them away. And Jesus, however, says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. You see, what we're going to look at today, first of all, is that the disciples, viewed these guys and this crowd as an intrusion. You see, we are not, people are not intrusions in our life. Have you ever felt like somebody's just intruded into your life? Hello. Haven't ever felt like somebody, that person intruded into my life? And the disciples no doubt were feeling this way, because if you read the passage of Scripture just before that, they had got away and was trying to get away by themselves. And when they got away by themselves, here comes the crowd. They couldn't go anywhere where the crowd, anywhere where Jesus is, he always draws a crowd with him. Whether he was hanging on a cross or on the mountainside, he always draws a crowd. And there's a lesson for us in that as well. But you see, Jesus didn't view people as an intrusion in their life, into his life. The disciples viewed the people as an intrusion, or maybe just an irritation. And they said, Lord, send them away. Send them away as they may get something to eat. We'll find some of the disciples later on even asking God, you want me to call fire and heaven down from heaven to consume these people? That's the type of mentality these guys had. But I want to ask you, when's the last time somebody came to you and had a need in their life, and you may have met their needs, but you felt like they was intruding in your space? Think about that. The people that may need to be ministered to the most, don't treat them as an intrusion. I remember a time in my life, and I just had enough. You ever get to where you just had enough? I was out in floating around in a pond with a floater on. That's a good way to float. And I had my life vest on, and I'm just floating around. It's really fun until the bluegill starts biting your where your freckles are at, and then it's not so much fun anymore. But if you do it at dark, bluegill can't see your freckles in the dark, and you're fine. And I didn't want to talk to nobody, and somebody called me. Somebody called me, and my wife hollers out, hey, somebody such and such is on the phone. I'll call them back later. I don't want to talk to nobody right now. Man, when I did that, God just, boom. He spoke to me and said, is that the way you want them to treat you? Is that the way that you want them to treat you when they have a need and you have a need in your life? Do you want to treat them that way? And do you want them to treat you that way? And so I got out of and went over and answered the phone and talked to them. And man, you know what? After I did, I was so glad that I did that. You see, I viewed them as an intrusion. And quite honestly, a little bit of an irritation at that moment, at that time. And God doesn't want us to do that. Now, there are times when we need to get away. There are times when we need to be alone. But I tell you what, don't view people as an intrusion in your life. And Jesus here gives them instruction as well. People need to be instructed. The disciples came to a point in time, and here they were with the whole crowd of people around them. And they had people, I mean, just think about the 5,000 men plus women and children were meeting here at this time. So the crowd could have easily been over 10,000 people. Easily could have been over 10,000 people. That's a bunch of people. Have you ever been in a crowd of 10,000 people? Has anybody ever been in a crowd of 10,000 people? That's just a bunch of people to be around, isn't it? You know, I got a kick a few years ago. I had an opportunity to speak in a church in the South, and that church had several thousand people in it. And somebody said, weren't you scared to death? I said, no, give me more. Give me more. I mean, it was thrilling to get to preach to that many people at one time. But I thought, wow. But they still even wasn't even 5,000 at that service that day. Jesus instructed his disciples here. We find that when the crowds had come out and they followed him, he welcomed them. Instruction, okay? He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. You see, the instruction came about the kingdom of God. And when you are focused on the kingdom, when you're focused on God's kingdom, you won't view people as an intrusion. Because people are either in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. And I want to ask you, are you in or are you out? He instructed those people about the kingdom of God and what it was going to look like. And he gave them instructions about the kingdom of God. And so it said he cured those who needed healing. God's still in the healing business today, by the way. And I think I mentioned that last week, and I'll say it again today. God's still in the healing business. And so he healed them. And it says, late in the day, the 12 approached and said to him, send the crowd away. So they came to him to the surrounding village and countryside for food and lodging, because we are in a deserted place. So send them away to the deserted place. He instructed them, you give them something to eat. You. Now think about that. Here's his instruction to them. It is you do the impossible. You do the impossible. You give them something to eat. Now think about this. Here was the 12 disciples together, and they tell him just a little bit later on, Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not even enough for us. And when he's talking about a little loaf of bread, when I think of a loaf of bread, I think of like the loaf I brought last week. I think of a honking loaf. But theirs was just like a biscuit, more like a little biscuit, and 2 fish. And if this parallels to the other story in the Bible, there's a huge miracle here already that took place. Because if it parallels to the other Gospels, there was a boy who had the 2 fish and the 5 loaves, and he ate them yet. Have you ever seen a young boy leave anything left at the table yet? Hello. Come on, you all need to lighten up a little bit this morning. Have you ever seen a boy leave anything at the table? I mean, they're going to eat it. And so here we are, that this little boy hadn't eaten his 2 fish yet. And the fish that they were talking about were little bitty old boogers. I mean, kind of like what we would have. They don't have them in the South. Smelt, thank you. I don't know who said that. They were more like smelt. We don't have smelt in the... And somebody asked me when I first moved to Michigan, you want a smelt? And I said, do they stink? Well, they smell like fish. And I said, well, tell me a little bit about the smelt. And so I've eaten quite a few smelt since that time. And I like deep-fried smelt. But anyway, I thought I'd just throw that in there for good measure. But the smelt, they were just small fishes. It's a little bit small fish. I mean, not big at all. Kind of reminds me when I was over there in Belish Lake in Romania, and these guys, we're going to go fishing. I thought, all right, I'm going to go get some bluegills, some bass. And they had these great big old poles, and they throwing them out there, and they finally caught one, and that little fish was a poor little thing. I said, let it go back and grow up. let it go out there into its mommy a little bit more. And No, that's a big one. I said, no wonder y'all so skinny. We'd use that for bait back home. We don't eat things like that. That reminds me of another story, but I won't tell it. Why not? I had a mission team up here, and we took them to Mongolian barbecue. Broke my heart when I saw that thing's gone. Have you noticed that? That Mongolian barbecue is not there no more? That's just not right. But I took this mission team there, and there was about 30, 35 on the mission team. And every mission team pretty well that I've had up here, I've taken to Mongolian barbecue. And that's one of the things when they come to northern Michigan, they want to come back and go back to Mongolian barbecue. Some of them would be depressed now. But I took this group in there, and this lady looks at that food. How many's been to Mongolian barbecue before? So you put your food there, and then they cook it for you. This lady looked at all that raw food, and I think she thought she had to eat it raw. And she says, we don't eat food like that. I said, well, there's another barbecue place around the corner. We're going to eat food like that. And so the rest of the team stayed there, and her son left. But anyway, getting back to the story here, he instructed them, you give them something to eat. Then he instructed them as well. And he said, okay. They said, Lord, there's no way. There is no way that we can do that. And basically, if they went to the surrounding villages and areas there, there wouldn't have been enough places for them to sleep, and there wouldn't have been enough for them to eat in those places. There was just no way that possible that that could happen. And Jesus instructed them. I had them sit down in groups of 50. And so if there was 5,000 men there, that meant that there was 100 groups of 50, if I've done my math right. Is that right? 100 groups of 50? If you add the women and children in there, there would have been 200 groups, at least 200 groups of 50. And then he instructed them, and he did the impossible. At this time, Jesus does the impossible. He takes those small loaves, and he takes those two fish, and he begins to pray over them, and he begins to bless them. And he begins to continue to break them and break them and break them and break them. Now think about it. Just feeding, there's not quite, there may be 50 in here today. I don't know. I didn't count. But just the group right here, it would, for two loaves and or two fish and five loaves, that's not much. But Jesus continued to break them, and it continued to multiply and multiply and multiply. And they fed the first 50, then the next 50. I always ended up being the last 50. It seemed like that's the way it always ended up for me. But Jesus did the impossible. I don't know, but his hands may have gotten tired from breaking the bread and breaking the fish. And he just continued doing it. You see, Jesus operates in the area of the impossible. Do you feel like your circumstances are impossible right now? Do you feel like there's no way, I have no hope whatsoever? There's hope in Jesus. He operates in the impossible. And I want you to know, he's still the same today as he was back then, and he'll be the same tomorrow as he is today. You see, that's the type of God that we serve. He operates in the impossible. I remember one time we were feeding. We had a revival going on, and we were also feeding every night before revival at 6 o'clock. We had a meal. That way people could come from work. They didn't have to go home, get supper, and do their dishes and do that. But we also had two funerals that week, not because of the revival. But we did have two funerals that week. And we fed about 500 people at the two funeral meals, plus the people that we fed at the revival services. And one night, Judy came out to me. She said, Brother Ken, I don't think we have enough food to feed everybody that's here tonight. We didn't expect this big of a crowd. And I said, oh, you a little faith. And she said, I just don't think we're going to have enough food. She said, do you think you can bless it and multiply it? I said, never tried that before, Judy, but let's pray over it right now. And, God, this is the food that we have, and that's the crowd that you have out there. Lord, would you please make it enough tonight? I don't ask you for anything extra. I don't ask you for 12 baskets more. Just make it to be enough. And when the last person came through and put their food on their plate, and they were able to fill it full. And when we got done, there wasn't anything left except some pie. We finished that off later. I'm telling you, folks, God is good. She said, God had to multiply that because I don't know where it came from. And I didn't see God multiply it. I didn't see Jesus do it here. But I know that my God works in the realm of impossible. You see, Jesus creates instant order. Well, let me back up. What do you do? What do you do when it seems like what you have is not enough? You start with what you have. You start with what you have. They had five loaves, two fish. You start with what you have. What do you have today? What do you have? Meeting people at their needs, you say, I don't feel adequate for that. Well, welcome to my world. Start with what you have, and you give it to Jesus. You give it to Jesus. Start with what you have. You give it to Jesus and let Him take control. Let Him have what you have. And when you let Him have what you have, then you'll have a whole lot more than you could ever imagine. They started with 2 fish, 5 loaves, ended up with 12 basketfuls. That in itself was pretty good multiplication. But you see, Jesus created instant order. He created an instant order here. You know, there was order. He had them all. Now, have you ever been around 5,000 people trying to eat at the same time? I haven't either. I have never watched 5,000 people try to eat at the same time. And I told you a while ago, I'd probably been in a group of 100 or 99 or somewhere in that neighborhood. So if we're ever at a banquet somewhere and they're letting people go by tables, don't sit at my table. I think it has something to do with the name Wilson, which is towards the end of the alphabet. I'm not sure. But don't sit at my table because we'll be the last ones to eat. Unless you want to fast. But He created instant order. I mean, 5,000 people can be chaotic. Actually, I lied to you because I got to be part of Promise Keepers a few years ago in Boulder, Colorado. It was the third year of Promise Keepers, and they hadn't branched out to the other places of the nation. And we had the world's largest barbecue there at Boulder, Colorado, out in the football stadium, out in the grounds surrounding the football stadium. And they fed a little over 25,000 people. A sack lunch, and I think I was 25,001, but anyway, I was about to starve by the time I got up in the line. But they fed it, and I'm going to tell you, when we were standing there, we was herded through there like a bunch of hogs going through these lines, and there was chaos. But with Jesus, there was instant order. He said, "Have them sit down in groups of 50," and He fed the groups of 50. Think about the disciples. They were the ones serving. I bet they were tired when they got done feeding the 5,000, don't you? When they got done, and then they gathered up the leftovers and put them in baskets. I don't know who furnished the baskets, but they had 12 baskets left over. So they had to do the clean. Not only did they have to do the feeding, they had to do the cleanup. Bummer. But He had made an instant order. You see, from what I understand about Jesus, He doesn't operate in chaos. He operates in order. Jesus makes an immediate impact. I'm telling you, these people went away. It says they had enough. They had enough. They were full. When they left that day, they came hungry. They came wanting to hear a word from Jesus, and Jesus gave them that word. And when they left that day, they were full spiritually, but they were full physically as well. I'm not so sure that if they had been sent away to the villages, that they would have left full spiritually. But they was able to participate, and they was able to make history that day and make the Word of God by being there, listening to Jesus speak, and then watching Him feed the multitudes. What an immediate impact He had on their lives. And when the disciples, and He told the disciples, have them sit in the groups of 50 each. They did so, and they sat down, and He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and He looked up to heaven, and He began to bless. And He blessed and broke them. He kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Everyone ate and was filled. And they picked up 12 baskets of leftover pieces. Right after that, you'll find a few days later, it was Peter who confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had an immediate impact on the hunger of the people that was in the crowd. But He had an immediate impact on His disciples as well. You see, Jesus makes an immediate impact. He knows where you're at today. He knows your needs. Let's look at some real life stuff for a little bit. Making it personal. When's the last time you viewed someone as an intrusion in your life? Was it that person that called you or emailed you at 11:30 last night? I got an email on my phone last night at 11:30. New time. And usually I turn that portion off of my phone, and I didn't last night. Woke me up, just bummed me out. But I want to tell you what, people are not intrusions. And don't let people irritate you. God may have put them in your life so that you can minister to them. I've watched it in churches. I've watched it in churches, guys. You know, I've had a privilege of interviewing a lot of churches and looking at churches and churches that grew, churches that died. And I'm going to tell you, the churches that grew didn't view people as intrusions. The churches that died viewed anybody that wasn't just like them as an irritation and an intrusion in their life. And they would do all that they could to snub them out and to push them off to the side. So don't view people as an intrusion or an irritation in your life. So when was the last time you viewed someone as an intrusion or an irritation in your life? Who was it? And how did you respond to it? Did you repent? And say, hey, I was wrong. Who's been instructing you? Because we all need instruction. I need instruction. I went to this Baptist State Convention of Michigan meeting this week. And by the way, they have a beacon back there today. You can pick that up on your way out. And there's some back on the resource table. Got a few other things back there as well. We have new English Standard Version of the Bible back, the New Testament back there. And some invite cards. My business card, it's got the church information on the back of it. Take a handful of these and give them out. We have plenty of them. They don't do us any good sitting in the office. I need somebody to instruct me. I tell you, we did business at the convention, the business that the convention does. But I tell you what, it blessed me is I got fed. I got to hear the guy speak, Michael Catt, who his church is the one who produced Flywheel, Facing the Giants, and Fireproof. They have another one coming out. It'll be released, the name of it, the 15th of this month. It's November now. 15th of November, they're going to be releasing the name of their next film, and it's already been produced. So looking forward to that. But I got to hear him, and I got encouraged. I was encouraged by hearing. We had a Bible speaker from the who's an international missionary in the Asian countries. And man, he just rocked my world. I mean, it was good. I needed to be fed. I got instruction. So who's instructing you? Then I'm going to ask you another question. Who are you instructing? You see, I really believe in mentoring. I'm a firm believer in discipleship is done one-on-one. Not one-on-five, one-on-ten. It's one-on-one. So, who's instructing you? Who's discipling you? And in turn, who are you discipling? Because Jesus here, he had the multitudes. He did the impossible. But yet he ministered to those 12 men that was with him that day. He taught them that with me, all things are possible. With Jesus, all things are possible. You too can do the impossible through Christ Jesus. You too. You say, well, I don't think I can feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You're right, you can't. But Jesus through you can. Your impossible situation, give it to Jesus. Take what you have. Give it to Jesus and let him do through you. You can do the impossible. I promise you. God wants to do it through you. What kind of impact are you leaving? Jesus had an immediate impact. Immediate impact. What kind of impact are you leaving on people around you right now? When you leave, wherever they are, they say, glad that person's gone. Or when you leave, say, wow, that was good. We've been with Jesus today. What kind of impact are you leaving right now? Jesus viewed people as important, not an intrusion. And I want you to know you're important to Him today. You're important to Him because He died for you on the cross. Now, if you've never surrendered your life to Him, today would be a great day to do that. Maybe you're facing some impossible situations, and I don't know what they are. God does. Give them to Jesus. If you'd like to pray with me in a little bit, I'm going to go back to the back there this morning, and I'm going to be back there if you want to come pray with me. I'll pray with you. But I just want you to know, God wants to do some special things through your life. You need to meet people at their point of need. Whether it's a boy in Africa, on a mission trip, as our mission team begins to meet and plan what God has in store for us in 2010, it may be going to some place like that, Romania or to Cairo, Illinois, or to the person next door to where you live. But you meet people where they are. Let Christ meet the need through you. You have a huge impact on people's lives. Meeting people where they are. Let's pray. Father,